You open your Bible this morning, we're back in our Savior's discourse. He's sharing with his disciples here in Luke chapter 6. And I want to focus this morning beginning in verse 39 down to verse 42. Follow along as I read this portion of his message, where it says, "And he also spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye." Beloved, as we come to this passage this morning, our Savior here is warning his disciples about who it is that they allow to influence them and to shape their thinking about life, their thinking about salvation. And he's also continuing his warning about the sin of judgmentalism. And I must say, these are two warnings that we all need as well, because all of us are being influenced, all of us are being shaped in our thinking by others, and all of us have to fight the sin of judgmentalism, especially hypocritical judgments. I don't know if you noticed, as we read through those verses, there is a common problem that the Lord is bringing light of here, and it is the issue of blindness. Now, it's obvious there, if you look back in verse 39, a blind man cannot guide a blind man. But he's also speaking in some sense about blindness when he goes in verse 41 and verse 42. Because notice in verse 42, he says, "When you yourself do not see," you're not seeing clearly. Here he's talking about someone who would have some blind spots in their life. Jesus is using these pictures that he gives us here to illustrate a biblical and spiritual truth. This blindness that he is talking about, one sense, he's talking about one's ability to understand the truth and to apply the truth, and thus the ability then to effectually and effectively lead someone in the truth. And then the blindness he's speaking about in verses 41 and 42 is a blindness where someone is unwilling to see the sin in their own life. This is going to be important for us to understand this in our own heart and our own lives. So let's look back at verse 39 and 40. And in particular in verse 39, I want us to see this very important principle, and that is, it is important who it is that you choose to be under their influence in the shaping of your thinking about life and salvation and about God. You see, Jesus knows that what he has been saying all along here goes against the things that had been taught to the people by the Pharisees and the scribes. And as far as being blind guys, the Lord Jesus Christ, we know over in the Gospel of Matthew, which is recorded for us in Matthew 15, 14, that Jesus said there specifically of the Pharisees that they were blind guides. They were blind guides of the blind. They were blind to the truth about Jesus. They were blinded by their own pride. They were blinded by their power. They were blinded by their prejudices. And because they were blind, they, on one hand, could not discern the miracles of Jesus properly, because as you go through the Gospels, what you see is they can't deny the miracles of Jesus, but they judge wrongly and say, well, he's doing these miracles by the power of Satan. And not only that, they were blinded to his message, and they rejected his message because it exposed them. It exposed their self-righteousness. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes were experts. They were experts at pointing out everyone else's sin. But when Jesus came along, his teachings pointed out their sin. It pointed out their hypocrisy. And they hated him for it. Instead of humbling their hearts before the Lord, they hardened their hearts. And the harder they got, they were sealing themselves more and more in their blindness. But here's what Jesus says to this. Look in verse 39. When he is using this parable, this axiom, this spiritual teaching to get the point across. It says, a blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? Jesus is ultimately just saying, look, can a blind man successfully guide and lead another blind man? And the obvious answer to that is no. And the reason is because will not the result be that the blind man's going to guide the other blind man and they're both going to fall into the pit? And then back in the days of the area there where they were living, it was known that even as they traveled, this was not just falling in some little ditch. There could be pits that would be there somewhere along the road that if someone fell into it, it could cause their death. It could cause great harm to them. So they understand the picture of this. They're picturing two blind people walking down the road of Israel and walking down the roads of Palestine in this time with no other guidance, no other help, knowing eventually they're going to fall in the pit. And it's going to be a disaster for them. The thought about it would be something kind of comical with us here today if after the service when we dismissed, as you were all leaving, getting ready to leave, we passed out something to blind every single one of us. And then, let's just say for all those who are here by yourself for whatever reason, I would be the one trying to guide you out to your car and to help you to drive home. For the rest of you who are here by your family, the men, the husbands, or the fathers, you would be the one that was responsible for now for guiding your wife and guiding your kids and getting them out of the sanctuary, into your car, and make your way back home. Now, how well do you think that would go? We would probably even have a hard time getting out of the building. And then I wouldn't want to see the parking lot when everybody's getting in their car and cranking it up and trying to drive out. It would be a disaster. And this is what Jesus is speaking about. But here again, remember this blindness he's talking about is spiritual blindness. That is, they can't see the truth. And here he's talking about you have people who can't even understand the truth, don't accept the truth, and they're trying to guide others in the truth or how to live life or who God is and about what salvation is. And he's saying, can they do that? And he says, no, they don't have the ability to do it. The only thing they can do is lead to the actual disaster in the eternal death of those people. Beloved, that will be, it's what it will be for anyone who is here today. If you're not being guided by Jesus from the Scriptures, maybe it's because some of us may say in our hearts, well, I just want to listen to myself. I'll be my guide. Well, if you don't have Christ, you're blind. And you're trying to lead yourself. Or you're listening to others who teach you are not believers. And I want you to see what Jesus is saying is, they can't really lead you except to disaster. And what's sad when we read through the Gospels, what do we see? The Pharisees and the scribes led the majority of the people, they led the majority of the nation away from the truth and away from Jesus. And it did bring disaster for them. They did fall into the pit temporarily and for most eternally. Temporarily because it won't be many years from now in AD 70 when the wrath will be poured out upon them. And judgment's going to come against them. But ultimately, beloved, because if they died without Christ, they have led them into an eternal destruction, an eternal pit, the eternal lake of fire. So again, I just say, please understand, anyone here today You're not a follower of Christ. You can't rightly guide your own life. Whoever it is that is shaping your thinking, and that thinking's not coming from Scripture, they can't guide you rightly either. And I want to lovingly warn you, you're heading towards the pit. If you're listening to the wisdom of the world and all of the teachings of the world that goes against the Scriptures, it's going to be a disaster. But I want us to go a little further than that this morning. And I want us to see how important this is even for us as believers. That is, who are we listening to? Who's influencing us? Who's shaping our thinking? Who's shaping our values? Who's even shaping our understanding of Scripture? Because I look now in verse 40 when he says, a pupil, that is a disciple, is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he's been fully trained, will be like his teacher. Let's think about this discipleship relationship in the times and the day in which Jesus was living. This training that was taking place, it would be very intense. It could be very intimate. Because the disciple was walking around with their teacher, traveling with their teacher, watching their teacher, spending time daily with their teacher, sitting under the instructions of their teacher. Thus, the teacher of the disciple in the context of what Jesus is saying here in verse 40, that person was the primary one influencing, shaping their thinking about life, about salvation, about God, about Scripture. They were being trained. Notice he says, everyone, when he has been fully trained, that idea there is of being made mature. They completed the training. They've been equipped. Whenever they have been equipped, they're going to be like their teacher. That will be the result. And notice just how dependent they were again in that day, because he says a pupil's not going to be above his teacher. Because the primary teaching, and almost for most, the exclusive teaching and instruction that they were given was from their teacher and no one else. Please notice carefully when Jesus says, but everyone. When they have been equipped, when they've been fully trained, they're going to be like who? They're going to be like their teacher. They're going to be like their teacher. So, beloved, if on one hand, if the people of his day continued to be trained by the Pharisees and the scribes, they were going to be like the Pharisees and the scribes. And sadly, that means they would still be in their blindness. If a person chooses to be trained by the teachings and the wisdoms and the teachers of the world, then that's what they'll be like. But I want to challenge all of us, even here today as believers, about this as well. As I thought about this verse, it made me ponder my own heart, my own role, my own responsibility. That as a pastor, to see that it is important how I teach you and how I live before you. Because I do have a responsibility and a role and a part in shaping your thinking. That's why I would say it is important where one goes to church. It is important where one goes to sit under the teaching and the preaching. Because it's going to be influencing their life. It's going to be influencing how they read through the Scriptures, how they take the Scriptures seriously, how they understand the Scriptures, how they apply the Scriptures. But also recognize this. The day and time in which we live is not the same as it was in the day and time of Jesus. Because in our day and time, it matters also who you're reading and who you're listening to. Whether you're reading a blog or you're reading a book or you're listening to a podcast, listening to sermons, Because as I sat down and I thought about this, it is vastly different than in the days of Jesus. As I said, these men are walking around with him. They're traveling with him. They're with him daily. They're listening to his teaching. They're going through all of these things. But you think about it, in our context, beloved, let's just be honest. As far as the influence I may have in your life, for the most part, most of you give about 50 minutes a week. And that's it. And yet, I'm sure, obviously, you have the world coming in at you. Or you're listening to other teachers, you're listening to other podcasts, you're reading other blogs, you're reading these books. And I participate in doing those things as well. But what that should tell you then is more than likely those men or women are having a pretty big influence on your life, on how you think. They're shaping you. And I want you to again read what Jesus says. Everyone, after he's been fully trained, will be like his teacher. So my point to you is choose wisely. One of the questions I ask myself in that regard is, would I want to be like this person? Or even would I want to teach like this person? Some of the things I weigh in my own heart as I consider those that are going to have a lot of influence in my life from what I read and what I listen to. I just think about, in particularly, four areas. I think about the content of what the person's teaching or preaching. Not that I'm going to necessarily agree with every single jot and tittle, every single word that they say. But I want to know, do I agree overall with the content? And as I'm understanding what they're teaching, I'm also looking at the character of the man, the conduct of the man, and also the communication of the man. How does the man communicate this truth? Is this something I would want to model? Is this something I'd want my kids to model? Would I want them to model the way this man or this woman teaches? Is this the way I'd want their character and their conduct to be? Is this how I want them to think? So be careful when you're listening, who you're looking to, because it's going to have an effect on what you think is acceptable before God. What you think is acceptable for God in the content and character and conduct and even their communication. Not that any man or any woman that would be just involved in discipleship in any way, no one's going to be perfect. But what I would say, I'm looking at the pattern, the practice of their life, or the pattern and the practice of their ministry. Jesus is reminding them of this. Look, a pupil is not going to be above his teacher. So make sure you're being guided by the right person, the right people, who you're listening to, who's shaping you in that sense. But now, let's shift gears to look more closely at ourselves and our fight against hypocrisy and hypocritical judgments in our life. Verse 41 and verse 42, remember what Jesus says, why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. Again, as we talked about, Jesus in other places will refer to the Pharisees and the scribes as being hypocrites. They were guilty of this. As I said, they were experts at finding the problems in everyone else's life, but they somehow never seemed to think to see it in their own life. They were guilty of self-righteousness. But here in this text, when Jesus says about the hypocrite, who is the hypocrite here? How is it that one can be a hypocrite? Well, the word itself means play actor. But as we think about the context and the situation which Jesus puts forward here, here's the hypocrite as he's describing it. It's the person who portrays before others that he or she is concerned about sin. They're concerned about the spiritual health of their brothers and sisters. They're concerned about the honor and glory of God. Yet, the first place, the primary place, and almost the exclusive place that they look for sin is in the life of others, but not in their own life. That's why when you look back at verse 41, notice what Jesus says, "Why do you look?" The implications there is like this is what they're accustomed to doing. They're just looking around, looking for sin. They're looking for the flaws. But as they look, notice what he says. You're looking at the speck that's in your brother's eye. You're noticing theirs. He says, but do you not notice? That is, you're not looking at your own life first. Which tells us that when we're guilty of hypocrisy, it's when we live by a double standard. When we hold others to a standard that we ourselves don't want to live, aren't willing to live. This is what Jesus is speaking against. Again, notice the priorities of this of the hypocritical judge. Notice their perception about things. They don't even get the proportion right. Because here they are, they're looking at a little speck, and there's a log that's in their own eye. They don't have their priorities right because they're looking at others first and not themselves. They don't have their perception right and the proportionality right because they're looking at the difference between a speck and a log and understand this idea when he says here of a speck. A speck is like, in some sense, could be as small as a little piece of dust that would get in your eyes or some straw. Or, if you go back in the Old Testament, in the Septuagint, when they translated the Old Testament into Greek, you go back to the story of Noah and the ark, whenever he sent out the dove and the dove brought back the little twig, that was the same word that's used here for speck. So just here's the picture. Someone that the hypocrite's looking at has a twig in their eye, but then notice, he says, but what they don't notice in their own eye, they don't notice a log. And a log is a main beam, the main beam that's holding up a structure. And you think about the picture there, the silliness of that, of what Jesus is trying to get across to them, that here is somebody with this little twig in their eye, and you walking up to them, a person's walking up to them that has this massive beam that's just covering their eye. And they're saying, I see some things in your life. Well, how do you see it? How can you see that clearly? You can't, he's saying. Now again, don't misunderstand what Jesus is saying. He's not saying that a person then is a hypocrite because they ever fail. They fail at something. No, they would be a hypocrite as if they fail and they never confess it. They never repent of it. They never seek to make it right and do what's right. See, that's not a person. On one hand, a hypocrite is someone who doesn't practice what they preach, but doesn't mean that they're going to be sinless in any area of their life. Look, beloved, as a pastor and as a preacher, I have to get up and preach about things that sometimes I struggle with in my life. I can struggle with in my own heart. I can struggle with sin. But I can't say, well, I can't preach on that because I struggle with it. No, I just need to be open and honest before the Lord. And if I'm sinning against someone else, I'm willing to make that right. That's not hypocrisy. So the Lord's not asking us here, as we're going to think about this, he's not asking us to say, well, I can never talk to anyone about their sin because I sin. Because if that's the case, then there would never be any conversations about sin. No, Jesus is saying it is someone who is just looking for the sin in others, but don't really want to look for it in their own life. And what does Jesus want us to do? Does he want us to never then approach someone about sin in their life? No. That's not what he's saying. Because notice, follow along and look down in verse 42. Where he says, well, how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your own eye, when you yourself don't see the log that's in your own eye, you hypocrite, first. Here's the first thing he wants you to do. Take the log out of your own eye. That is, turn your focus and look at yourself. And look at yourself through the lens of Scripture, okay? So look at yourself and see it and recognize it for what it really is. Recognize the seriousness of it. Recognize what it is before God. Then he says, do what? Take it out. Confess it and repent of it. This kind of reminds me of this being blinded to your sin. It reminds me of David with Nathan after David had committed the heinous sin that he had done. And Nathan comes to him and telling him a story. And as David's hearing that story of how someone's taking advantage of somebody else, David in his pride stood up and said, that man needs to be dealt with. And then Nathan says, well, you're the man. See, David was blind to that until it was brought to his attention. And David was truly willing to repent and confess it and make it right. He was willing to take the log out of his own eye. You see, and please understand, Jesus is not asking somebody to go from self-righteousness to self-pity. You know, the self-righteousness is the hypocrite who doesn't see the sin in their life, but the self-pity person is the one who does see sin in their life and just wallows in that pity, wallows in that sin, wallows in that sorrow, and uses that as their reason for why it is that they would never, ever go talk to someone else about sin in their life. Beloved, understand, self-righteousness and self-pity are all from the same root, sin of pride. Because neither one of them's addressing the issue. The self-righteous person's not going to address sin in their life, and the self-pity person's not going to address sin in their life because they're just going to keep wallowing in it. That's not what he's asking us to do. He's saying, deal with your sin appropriately. Take the log out of your eye. Confess. Repent. Have the self-examination, the self-evaluation from the Scriptures. I go back to the question I asked last week. I want you to consider it again to help you to see, can I be guilty of being a hypocrite, hypocrisy? By asking yourself the question, when is the last time I confessed specific sin to God? Or specific sin to others? That's a good question, because if I'm not doing that, then that tells me more than likely I am not really looking and noticing things in my life. And it's so easy for me to notice what's going on in other people's lives and not see it in my life. Because if you are truly humbly coming before the Lord in self-examination, self-evaluation, the Spirit of God with the Word of God is going to be convicting you. And again, he's not convicting you to wallow in that sin. He's convicting you so you'll confess that sin, repent of that sin, and by God's grace begin to take that sin and log out of your eye. Take the right action by his grace. So yes, every one of us should be confessing sin, as Jesus is speaking about here. Because notice what also he says, then, back in verse 42. First, take the log out of your own eye, then. See, now you're in a position to see clearly. To see the situation for what it really is. And I believe whenever you truly do this and you're taking the log out of your own eye, that's when you now have the right heart, You have the right motivation if you're going to talk to somebody. You have the right perspective about it. You see, you're not going in this judgmental way. You're not going this way of I'm superior or I this holier than thou and I would never do that. No, you've already been addressing your own heart, your own sin. You're dealing with your own situation, what's going on in your own life. So there should be a sense and a heart of humility, a heart of genuineness, a heart of gentleness as you come to this person. It's as the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 6 in verse 1. He says, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself. And here's why, so that you too will not be tempted. We go with a heart of gentleness and humility. We go with a heart of wanting to see this person truly dealing with whatever's going on in their life. Just be careful not to overlook the virtues in other people's lives while at the same time overlooking the vices in our own life. The Lord here is trying to teach His disciples. Make sure as you're training others, remember, they're going to be like you. So when you're in the role of being a teacher, or just being a disciple, in whatever capacity that may be in your life, just remember those who are under you, when they're fully trained, they're going to be like you. And you don't want them practicing this type of judgment. That's why we talked about last Sunday that whenever he says, don't judge and you will not be judged, like it matters, but what we're doing, if I have a judgmental, condemning spirit towards others instead of a heart of forgiveness and giving and charity, a heart of compassion and charity that I'm known for before others, that's what I'm cultivating. That's what I'm producing. We don't want to be that way. Our Lord is just saying, be sure who it is that's influencing you, who it is that's training you. And that first starts off with knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord, being trained by Him and through those who know Him and love Him, being trained by Him in the truth. Because outside of that, just remember, you're seeking someone to give you guidance and direction who can't see. That they don't understand. As we talked about a few Wednesday nights ago in 1 Corinthians 2, remember what Paul said there? The natural man does not welcome and accept the things of the Spirit, and the things of the Spirit in that context was the Word of God, the divine revelation, and in particular the gospel. They don't receive it. And he goes on to say they don't even have the ability to understand it. They cannot understand what the gospel, the implications of the gospel. So you don't want to turn to them. No, turn to one who does know it, who does understand it. That's first and foremost. If not, then it's just blind leading the blind. But also be sure who it is that's influencing you and training you. Because in the end, you will be like that person. And be sure that as you seek to influence others, As you seek to speak into the life of other people, and you should. And maybe even speak into their life about sin. Just make sure that you are continually examining your own heart, your own life in reference to sin. And I would even say this, be willing to receive. If someone sees sin, just be willing to receive it. Confess it. Repent of it. Beloved, when you put it all together in what Jesus has been saying in this message, if we would truly, by His grace, practice what He is preaching and how we love others, how we treat others, that we're not cultivating a judgmental, critical, hypercritical spirit, but instead we're cultivating a heart of love and grace, compassion, charity. If we're willing to be wise in who we follow and examine our own hearts and lives on a regular basis by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, beloved, that will transform your life. It'll transform, as I've been talking about, your families. It'll transform relationships throughout your life and even in this church. That's what the Lord was calling His disciples to. And beloved, if you're here today, know Jesus is your Savior and your Lord. He's your master and your teacher, and you're His disciple. And He wants us to follow what He has to say.